Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So while many of us Sanders supporters are, well, less than thrilled today, I know a lot of Democrats who are thrilled that President Obama is finally going to come out and, well, say something. It's now the primary's over. It's now a full gun hole towards the general election. Here to share some thoughts on, well, the day's news and where we are as a country, all holed up and locked away in our homes. I've asked our good friend Pete Dominic to come talk with us. Pete, one of my favorite stand-up comedians, also the host of the fantastic podcast Stand Up with Pete. Pete, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, I will do your show anytime. I love doing your show. I love you. I love watching your show. And I am wearing pants.
All right. Well, I'm thrilled to hear that part of it. I'm sure your family is as well. So what do you think? Obama now coming off the shelf. Is that going to help Biden?
I like the phrasing that he was just up there on the shelf going, look, I'm stay up here. I'm going to wait. Not going to say anything. I really like a lot of the different candidates, but you know what? Now it's time to get off the shelf. Yeah, absolutely it's going to help. You know who else is going to help? Michelle Obama, maybe even more. Every single Democrat, progressive, liberal, whatever you call yourself in the country is going to do whatever they can to get behind or should get behind Joe Biden. But there's no doubt that Barack Obama has been keeping quiet on purpose. And he's going to be a powerful presence on the campaign trail for his former vice president, Joe Biden, who he clearly admires and liked a lot.
And I would argue he's got, what, about 3.5 years worth of material pent up, ready to go after Trump with?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll see. Yeah, that's a great point. He's probably been writing in a gratefulness journal every day, Rick, that he's not the president anymore, but also writing in that journal all the things that arguments and preposterous notions that this president has floated minute to minute, hour to hour, day to day in whatever this is, 1100 of his presidency. So there's no doubt that his clip is ready, so to speak, to unload rhetorically on the current president, who is, you know, just an absolute nightmare and disaster. I mean, comparing these two men is like comparing you and I in terms of physical appearance. I being a male model.
I get that. I'm right there with you. You're a very handsome man there. Not quite getting that analogy, but okay. But here's the thing, and this is my question: Do you get? Are
there's
we?
There's no comparison, Smith.
All right. You're a much more handsome man than I am. I'll give you that. That's why I do radio. But here's the thing: Are we going to end up? And this is my great fear: Are we going to end up looking back at this as another 2016 moment? Because I just see so many people who are going, "Oh, my guy didn't win.
Yeah.
Now I'm not going to vote." Look, there's not a bigger Bernie supporter than I am. Sanders was the first guy I ever interviewed when I started this program 15 years ago. I have been a Bernie fan for years before that. He didn't win. It's time to move the country forward. And, you know, as I said earlier, my rationale is RBG isn't going to live forever.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the only rationale that really matters. I mean, we can talk about the planet, and we should. In terms of climate change and that issue, we can talk about, you know, systemic racism, and we can talk about, you know, foreign policy and everything. But yeah, the Supreme Court is the only thing that matters. And if Donald Trump wins again, he's going to pack the court with more insane right wing radio people and privileged white people that all went to the same high school. And you're going to have, you know, 7-2 in terms of leaning for the conservative majority. And you're going to have a generation or more of loss, of a lack of progressive, you know, movement gaining anything, because the Supreme Court is the be all end all. So forget whether it be campaign finance issues or guns or any other issue that progressives hold dear to them. You can't just take your ball and go home. I do worry that people aren't going to be enthusiastic about, 800-year-old Joe Biden, who is more moderate and a lot more moderate, obviously, and has a sketchy record when it comes to a lot of different issues, than they might have been for Joe Biden, or rather Bernie Sanders, or for the candidate I was supporting the whole time, which is Elizabeth Warren. I do worry that Joe Biden's not going to be able to energize people to get out and vote. But we've got to do everything we can to make the case, as you're trying to do every night in your show, as I am trying to do every day on my podcast, that this is no time to act as if we have a real choice here. We don't.
Nope. As Joe, I said, you know, I did a bumper sticker. Did a bumper sticker contest. Make your best bumper sticker. Biden or death seemed to be the one that got the most. really, I mean, look at where we are.
Yeah. It's an absolutely fair choice. That's exactly true. The Supreme Court is the only thing that matters. I think a lot of people that are kind of, you know, being, what's the word? I guess ignorant is the word, because they can't possibly know better. They just don't understand the weight that the Supreme Court holds and decisions that they make and how important they are to all of our lives. And the difference, this idea, I saw some image today comparing, you know, the Joe Biden is the same as Donald Trump in so many categories, which is, you know, lives on a tippy top of bullshit mountain, of course. But there's no possible way that you can, if you know anything about politics, much less constitutional law, imagine that Joe Biden would be nominating Supreme Court justices that are in remotely the same universe as the Supreme Court justices that Donald Trump would be nominating. Come on.
You're absolutely right. Or the lower courts. I mean, just as bad as, you know, more all of the lower courts and the people who, you know, the Bar Association, you know, rated as unqualified, which is extraordinarily rare. But here's my problem, Pete. You know, the latest Quinnipiac poll comes out and says that 51% of the people polled believe Joe Biden would do a better job during this pandemic. I don't know where to go with that. I mean, there's no punchline. That scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, it's tough to understand how anybody could possibly think that Donald Trump is doing anything right. For me, it's more extreme than that, Rick. It's how could you possibly think that Donald Trump cares about you? How could you think he cares about you? He doesn't care about anybody. Doesn't care about his own family. I'm not sure he knows his youngest son's name. He doesn't care about his third wife. He doesn't care about anybody but Donald Trump. And that manifests every day in his words and in his actions. He only cares about himself. He's a sick, sad man who has never cared about anybody but himself. He had a horrible upbringing by his father, a horrible role model in his father, and in his mentor Roy Cohn. This guy is an absolute corrupt of any thoughtfulness about anybody. And so when it comes to an illness, forget about policy like health insurance or wage increases or economic issues that you care about. This is life and death, literally. Every day, people are dying.
Which is why I said Biden or death.
He doesn't care.
That's your choice.
Yeah, the other day when he was at the same moment he was talking about the number of deaths, the modeling, he did that, made that joke, that reference to being with models. He doesn't care about people dying. He never has cared about, long before he became president, he didn't care about other people. So to me, forget the politics. What I generally will say to Trump supporters and challenge them is, why do you think he cares about you or anyone? Why? What proof do you have
that he
has ever done anything for anybody outside of himself?
No, well, I guess I could make an argument that he does care about Ivanka, because he keeps giving her credit for things that she can't possibly have done, like creating 10% of all the jobs in the country. Wasn't it today he said she created herself 15 million jobs?
He only cares about her as it relates to him, how she reflects upon him. And that's the truth. He's just using her to further himself. I mean, who does that with their children? It's one thing for a child to do that with their parent, but he doesn't care about her. He doesn't care about her approval.
And when she was younger, he wanted to date her, so there was that. But here's the thing. I mean, he does that with his daughters. You were almost drowning yours.
Listen to me, Smith. The people go on my Twitter and see. This was a TikTok meme, okay? My daughters come to me, and they show me this father who is dunking. He has both his kids. You got to watch it. And he's answering all these questions. And if it's right about this one, he dunks this one. If it's right about the other kid, he dunks that one. I know it doesn't look great with the sound off, but this wasn't my idea, okay? I'm down here in my studio working, and my daughter comes out and says, can you do this with us? Yes. I'll do anything. Maybe it didn't come look exactly right, but go watch it because I think it's pretty damn funny.
I did. I thought it was funny too. But you seem to be using this sequester time fairly well. You're almost drowning your kids. And I saw the other day you made a weight bench out of buckets and a plank of wood. Good
That's
for
right.
you, man.
That's right. Wah, the gym is closed is my theme. Yeah, no, I'm thriving. I am. I'm doing my best. You know, I lost my job at SiriusXM back in October. I went through hell as far as I've ever been to. It was the hardest challenge I've ever had. And it's still challenging trying to figure out what I'm doing with my career. But now everybody's in the suck. You know, millions of people are losing their jobs now. And so now I'm trying to help other people. But in the meantime, I'm doing everything I can to take advantage of. I'm always the optimist, Rick. At this time, I'm home. I'm with my family. We have dinner together every day. I'm exercising every day. I'm eating well. And I'm doing the best work of possibly my career. So I'm trying to make the best of what is a really challenging situation. But the secret is I like being home.
Yeah.
I like not having to go out and travel and do, you know, leave my house and have to run cart my kids all over the place. I like being with my family. I have a huge garden that I keep that is my main hobby and passion. So I'm doing my best to make the best of it.
And that's a good, that's really good. And for folks who want to take a listen to the fantastic podcast, and you have been doing some terrific work, standupwithpetedominic.com, the website, will get links
every day now, Rick, every day, just like you.
I know, that's a job in and of itself, right?
It is. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Tomorrow I have film director Tom Shadyac on. You know who he is?
I don't.
He directed a lot of Jim Carrey's early work, Pet Ventura, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, Liar, Liar, Bruce Almighty. He had a life. He almost lost his life, a near-death moment when he had a bike accident, and he reevaluated everything. He did a documentary. It was a huge hit called I Am, and he wrote a book. Anyway, he's a really, really thoughtful guy and a very successful guy, and I had an awesome conversation with Tom Shadyac, and people should check that one out. It's very, very good. It posts tomorrow.
There you go. Well, more things to look for from Pete Dominic. Let's move along to the phase three. I guess there's a phase 3.1 or 5 or whatever's next going to happen maybe tomorrow. Pelosi and Schumer have unveiled their idea of a $500 billion plan to double Moscow Mitch's 250. Thoughts?
I think that it's obviously needed. And I'm glad that Mitch McConnell understands the need that they're going to have to pass another bill and the billions and billions of dollars. Now that's the only thing they agree on. Who gets that and where it goes is obviously it's just so fascinating that we're always divided down supporting the super wealthy and the rest of us. I mean, it I don't know how Republicans have hoodwinked so many Americans to think that they care about them. They don't. You know, they're doing everything they can to get the wealth into the owners, the business owners, and the most elite members of our society, whereas Democrats are doing their best to make the money go to the vast majority of people, small business owners and so on. But the big controversy right now, of course, is what happened in Wisconsin yesterday and what we're all worried about might happen in the remaining primaries and, of course, the presidential election, which is a suppression of voting. And so a lot of people are saying that Nancy Pelosi and Democrats, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, have to insist that there is a system that allows people to mail in vote, absentee vote in November election as part of this newest fourth tranche of stimulus. And, it's hard to know exactly what leverage they might have and if that politically backfires on them, if people are waiting to get their checks right now and Democrats are holding the bill hostage for, access to voting. I don't think a lot of people are unfortunately going to be looking at it that way, especially the people who aren't really that interested in the politics. They want their money and they want it now. They don't understand, I think, a lot of people, the danger that our democracy is in right now. So it's going to be a very interesting fight. I don't think Schumer and Pelosi are going to bring that up the way progressive activists want them to in this bill to make sure that our democracy is maintained, whatever is left of it. But it's hard to see them not at least trying.
Yeah. No, because there are a lot of people I'm talking to who are worried that the November elections maybe they happen, maybe they don't.
Yeah, I mean, well, what do you think about that? You're asking me questions. I want to hear what your take is on that. I mean, how do you think they should handle this potential fourth bill? And do you think that Democrats, Rick, should insist that there is the mail-in voting that they're
I don't think they can demand that at this point. I really don't. I think you need the money. So people don't want the money. They need it. We're at that bottom of Maslow's hierarchy where people aren't thinking about high ideals of democracy and, and fairness and justice. They're thinking about, how am I going to put food on the table because my kid's hungry?
God, that was a much better answer than mine. Why am I here?
No, you've got, well, you've got to get to that point. And once we get past that, then we talk about the other stuff. My hope is that, you know, between now and Election Day in November, we've figured out how to get more access to voting, either through mail-in ballot or absentee ballot, or we open it up to let people vote an extra day or over a weekend so that you have more time to get there. We can spread it out so that we don't have two-hour-long lines of people standing 6 feet apart trying not to get each other sick. I mean, what I saw in Wisconsin is an absolute disgrace, but it's only topped by what I saw in Florida, where all those people who are trying to sign up for unemployment were having to stand in the same damn lines.
Dave Pell in Next Draft, which is one of my favorite daily newsletters, emails I get, writes, "Few things will prove more confounding than the full-on abomination of lining people up at overcrowded polling places in the middle of a pandemic, a move that symbolizes so much of what dominates this moment: cruelty, stupidity, racism, wanton lies, voter suppression, disregard for others, and jaw-dropping wrongness." Yeah, and by the way, I just saw this morning. I didn't realize this. Yesterday, the weather in Wisconsin apparently was terrible. People were waiting in line during a rain and hail storm, Rick.
Yeah, so if the corona doesn't get you sick, yeah, just regular flu and pneumonia is going to get you sick.
Well, weather doesn't make you sick, Rick, but it would.
You get cold and chills and rain. And my mother was always right, so don't question my mother.
Well, I want to put the science up against Mrs. Smith any day, but. All due respect.
I know every time I've gotten sick is because I was outside in the rain.
Never true. It's correlation, not causation.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
no, you. It's crazy what happened in Wisconsin, and it's crazy to think that it could happen in the remaining primaries. They could have easily postponed this. And you know, but the idea, obviously, this is not a new discovery. I'm sure you've been talking about it all the time, and I've been talking about it for years. Republicans don't want people to vote.
No, they're the death cult. I mean, it is what it is. And they've never wanted people to vote. I mean, as I said in the last segment, you know, I remember Paul Weyrich, you know, talking to Baptist ministers in Dallas back in 80, saying, we don't want everybody to vote. We want to keep the voting populace down so that our voters and our votes matter more. And it goes back to something my high school government teacher said. Jesus. Don't bother voting. Stay home. Makes my vote that much stronger.
Yeah, that's well, you know,
he was joking.
Yeah, of course. But the other thing that the other point I always want to make, and I really mean this, and I desperately want to understand what people, you know, whether people agree or not with this. But there, I feel like we've got two kinds of people in this country and in this world. I mean, we all cheat a little bit. We all lie a little bit, whether it be in a relationship to your boss or on your taxes. Some people are, you know, it's a spectrum of honesty. But the idea of cheating to win an election, cheating. Some people are okay with that because some people will win at all costs. They don't care. They'll rig it. They'll cheat. It'll be completely corrupted as long as they win. But I don't think that that's a conservative thing or a liberal thing. I know plenty of Republicans and conservatives that don't want to win by cheating, that don't want to win by depressing the vote, that don't want to win by rigging the election. And, you know, Democrats have done that in the past as well, you know, going back to, I think, Kennedy. But there are two kinds of people, those who will cheat to win an election and those who will not. And you just, I thought that to be an American or to be a citizen of any country in good standing, you don't cheat to win. You don't rig the election. You do your best to win and to do whatever you can to convince voters, however you can. You follow the rules. And if you win, you win. If you lose, you lose.
Yeah, but if your ideas are terrible and your policies suck and they hurt people, all you've got left is cheating.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's another way of saying it. I mean, a lot of those voters don't necessarily think that's the case, but certainly that's the truth. I mean, cheating to win. And, you know, obviously Donald Trump is one a corrupt person. I mean, this is a guy who didn't pay people who did work.
No.
This is a guy who, you know, he's the worst kind of businessman. And he'll do whatever it takes to win, to cheat, to lie. And the idea that you would support that, what does it say about you? Unless you disagree. Maybe you don't think that he's doing that. I don't know.
No, but you're right. And what does it say about them? You're absolutely right. Anyway, Pete, I appreciate the time. Hope people check out the podcast, StandUpWithPeteDominic.com, the website. Good stuff, Pete. Appreciate the time, man.
Thanks, Rick Smith. Love you, Bill. Thank you very much.
You as well. Our good friend, Pete Dominic. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that United We Bargain.